In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. Hope all of you had a very happy, blessed, peaceful, joyful Thanksgiving, and that we'd continue to praise and thank God all the days of our life with the psalmist, that we would say, give thanks to the Lord for his good. For his love endures forever. So as always, I'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So let's beg Mary to really be with us. Mary is also known as from the beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen. She's our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we pray the prayer that she loves most. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's pray now the prayer. Let's now invite to be with us our spiritual director. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many beautiful, beautiful titles, among which would be the Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. He is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. He's also known as our interior master. That's right, he's now our interior master. Because as St. Paul reminds us, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. We really don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. We can say Abba, Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. That's right. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of insight today as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Catherine of Alexandria, pray for us. Saint Joan of Arc, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, Pray for us. St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori, pray for us. St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, it's great to be with you, and we always start off our Perseverance family by praying together. And we always start off by asking Mary to be with us. Asking Mary to pray with us and to pray for us and to accompany us, because this is really her, it's her program. I give it to her. Then we pray to the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher, master. He's the one that inspires us in our thoughts. Then we pray also to the angels. The angels, as well as we pray to the saints. That's right, we pray to the angels as well as to the saints. What a great way to start off our day by inviting our Perseverance family members in heaven to accompany us. And they really are there present to us. This is part of the mystical body of Christ. You have the church triumphant, you have the church militant, and you have the church suffering. How great it is to belong to the mystical body of Christ. So I'd like to place on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that I'll be celebrating today. I'd like to place on the Holy Sacrifice on the altar and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to pray in a special way for the following intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the Holy Spirit. We'd be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's right, open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Then we might even say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. The next would be, I'd like to pray that all of us would make a concerted effort to grow in the knowledge of our faith. That's right, to grow in the knowledge of our faith. Because, my friends, none of us can really give what we don't have. We want to be able to explain our faith using biblical resources, magisterial resources, the lives of the saints, as well as possibly personal anecdotes, stories, to really help us to be teachers of the faith, be catechists of the faith, starting in our own home and family. My last intention, as always, is I'd like to pray in a special way for the conversion of poor sinners. We know these poor sinners, we're all sinners, but we're working on our conversion in our Perseverance family conversation. But it's a group of sinners, poor sinners, that are dying today. Especially those who are possibly living far away from God, living immersed in the state of mortal sin. So let us make a concerted effort to pray especially for the conversion of poor sinners. So there we have it. So following up what I said at the top of the program, yesterday we celebrated Thanksgiving. Let us never be negligent or remiss in failing to thank God for the many graces and blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Let us never be remiss in not giving God not only praise, honor, worship, but also thanksgiving. God loves a cheerful heart, but also God loves a grateful heart. May the antiphon of the psalmist resound in our hearts today, and that is, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our model for everything. How often do we see in the Gospel that our Lord Himself is giving thanks to the Heavenly Father? Our Lord, before raising Lazarus from the dead, we find this in John chapter 11, He lifts up His gaze and He thanks the Heavenly Father. Then when our Lord is out in the wilderness preaching to the multitude, thousands of people, He does not want to send them home with their stomachs empty for fear that they'll faint along the way. So He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes that a boy gives to Him, and He lifts up His gaze and He thanks God again. Then He goes on to multiply the loaves and the fish, where thousands of people were able to eat with 5 loaves and a couple of fish. And then, there at the Last Supper, our Lord took bread, blessed it, broke it, He gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God. So there, even at the Last Supper, our Lord, instituting both the Eucharist as well as Holy Orders, our Lord gives thanks to God. And also, it should be said that actually the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. And of all the gifts that God gave to us, among the greatest would be the gift of the Eucharist. Let us never, never be remiss in thanking God for this great, great gift of the Eucharist. Let us never, never be remiss in thanking God for this great gift of the Eucharist. Never remiss. And let us manifest it by going to Mass, not only Sunday, but as often as possible, and by receiving the Eucharist with great faith, devotion, and love. Let us give thanks to the Lord for the gift that He gave Easter Sunday night. Easter Sunday night. And Jesus went through the walls, and he breathed on the apostles and said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, saying, the sins that you forgive will be forgiven. The sins that you bind will be held bound. That's right. He was giving to the church the great gift of the Eucharist, of the great gift of confession. The great gift of confession. And finally, expressing our gratitude to the Lord for his many gifts. There, as he hangs on the cross, he's giving even more gifts. As he hangs on the cross and he looks below, sees the two people that he loves most, the two people that love him most, his best friend, St. John, and his beloved, sorrowful mother, he says, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. From that moment, the beloved disciple took her into his home, symbolizing that Jesus was giving his mother not only to St. John, but to all of us. So how thankful we should be for the fact that we have a Heavenly Mother close to us, praying for us, encouraging us to follow her Son Christ. So my friends, today we have a lot to cover as always. I'd like to mention briefly the saint that we celebrate today. It's an optional memorial, and it's Saint Catherine of Alexandria. Then we're heading toward the tail end of the book of Revelation, where we see the dragon, the ancient serpent, or the devil or Satan. He's tied up and he's bound for 1,000 years, and he's thrown into the abyss. Then we see a vision of heaven, and those who were martyred will be vindicated. And then the book speaks about we'll be judged on our works. That's right. It's a scene also of judgment, that when we die, we have to be aware of the fact that everything we do, we're going to be judged on it. So let's try to live our lives in a holy way so that our Lord will not be our judge, but he will be our Savior. He'll be our Redeemer. I repeat, that's a good prayer. He will not be our judge, but he'll be our Savior, and he'll be our Redeemer. Then the Gospel of the Lord gives us an example from nature. Speaking about a fig tree, and when the nature is in bloom, we know that summer is upon us. So our Lord says we should try to be able to interpret the signs of the times. It's one of the key notes of the Second Vatican Council, be able to read the signs of the times, be able to interpret how God is speaking to us through nature, through the world, through circumstances, through good as well as through bad. Then the last verse of our Lord, and I'd like to comment upon it, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So let's talk about the saint that we celebrate today. There are several canonized saints with the name Catherine. The most famous would probably be Catherine of Siena. Then you have the French saint that received the vision of the miraculous medal, Catherine Labouret. The saint that we celebrate today is a saint that was actually born in Egypt. Her name is Catherine of Alexandria. This saint is fascinating. According to tradition, she was converted, listen to this, by an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right. She's converted by an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wow. Converted by an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, what we'd like to do is talk briefly about her conversion and what came as a result of it. She had a vision of Mary, and she decided to become a Christian. There were no Protestants back. We're talking about the 300s, the 4th century. And she'd eventually be martyred. We celebrate Mass in honor of her. We'll come out in red. Yesterday we had also the Vietnamese martyrs. Then we had Miguel Pro martyr. This is a week in which we have a lot of martyrs, those who shed their blood for Christ. This woman was incredible in the sense that she was an intellectual. When she was only 18 years of age after conversion, she actually were confronted by 50 intellectual pagan philosophers. Those 50 philosophers were unable to answer her arguments. They were converted. Then many of the soldiers in the army, they were converted. And even some of the noble individuals in the court of the king, they were converted to Catholicism. So the king, the emperor rather, his name was Maxentius, decided to kill her, as well as the other Christians that were converted because of her. And how he decided to kill her was terrible. He's going to place her on a spiked wheel and beat her. But the spiked wheel shattered. Then what happened was she was decapitated. You actually have that in the book of Revelation today, those who were beheaded because of Christ will receive their recompense in heaven. So there's a certain connection between St. Catherine as well as the first reading. The martyrs who were beheaded, John the Baptist, Thomas More, and many others. Now after she died, she became one of those special virgins to help many in time of great need. But also, some 1,100 years later, Catherine was one of the saints who appeared to the young Joan of Arc, urging her to take up arms in the defense of France. Also during the bubonic plague, during the Middle Ages, she would be invoked for those suffering during the plague. And she's also frequently a frequent intercession to her for unmarried women, that she would be their support, because Catherine of Alexandria never did she marry. She was both a virgin and martyr, as was Saint Cecilia. So we have a whole line of martyrs this week. Saint Cecilia, Miguel Pro, Andrew Dulac, and the Vietnamese martyrs. Also Clement the Pope, whose feast day is also on the day of Saint Miguel Pro, November 23rd. And today we have the Vietnamese martyrs. Then we have Saint Catherine of Alexandria today. So let's pray that we would. I think we can glean these beautiful messages from this great saint. A lot that we can learn and pray to the saints for. First is that her conversion came about. Her conversion came about as a result of the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. How many converts come about through Mary? And the most famous would be Our Lady of Guadalupe, appearing to Juan Diego in 1531. And then, in the course of about 30 years, she had 8 million converts in Mexico. Wow. Mary is able to convert so many people. As Jesus turned water into wine, so is Mary able to turn erring hearts to Christ and bring about their salvation. How true the power of Mary. Let's ask Mary to pray for us that we would be able to love God more and more each day. That we'd be able to love God more and more each day. So the first reading, as we mentioned, we encounter an angel who had a key to the abyss and heavy chain. So we see this angel seizing the dragon, also known as the ancient serpent, also known as the devil or Satan, and tied him up for 1,000 years and threw him into that abyss, which he locked over it and sealed so that he could no longer lead the nations astray until the 1,000 years are completed. After this dragon would be released for a short time. In a certain sense, we have, once again, two standards. You've got the standard of Satan, you have the standard of the good angels. Just invite all of you to be aware of the rules of discernment. And the other day I spoke about desolation, what to do in desolation, what not to do. But I'd like to just refer today about Rule 14 of the 14 Rules. And that rule would be that the devil circles us looking for an entrance. The devil knows our weak point. The devil knows our kryptonite. He knows when we're vulnerable. So you may pray for the grace today to be more and more aware of your own kryptonite, your own weakness. You might even revisit the capital sins. I think it's a perennial examination of conscience on the capital sins. Capital sin of gluttony and lust and avarice, and as well as sloth, as well as anger and envy, pride. Those are the capital sins, the seven capital major weaknesses that we experience as a result of original sin, and that's also called concupiscence. It's also called concupiscence. So, what is your major weakness? What is your major weakness? And then try to name it, claim it, and tame it. Name it, claim it, and tame it. You like that? Name it, claim it, and tame it. Bring that up maybe to your confessor or spiritual director and try to do the agere contra. Try to do the agere contra. To do the exact opposite. The exact opposite, that's right. So I'd like to focus now upon the last verse of the gospel today. And by the way, tomorrow is actually the last day of the year. We mentioned at the beginning of this week that when we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King, then the following week we enter into the church new year. As we enter into Advent, that's right, we enter into the church new year as we enter into Advent. As we enter into Advent. So this is actually the last, second to last day before we enter into the new church year, which will be tomorrow evening Mass, the Vigil Mass tomorrow. We'll be entering into the holy season of Advent. So I think this verse that I'd like to comment upon today, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21, verse 3. Jesus says, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. And then our Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I repeat, these are the words of Christ himself. Heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In the Gospel of Matthew, the last words of Christ were, go out to all nations, teach them all I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. And our Lord says, behold, I am with you always. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. How is the Lord with us always until the end of the world? Well, he ascends to heaven in his glorified body. But still he remains on earth in his mystical body that we call the Catholic Church. And not only the Catholic Church, but also he's with us in the Eucharist. And every time we say, give us this day our daily bread, we ask the Lord for food, clothing, and shelter. We ask the Lord also for the daily bread of the Eucharist. We also ask the Lord that He'll provide us with a rich resource of nourishment, a rich resource of nourishment in the Bible, which is the Word of God. Bible, which is the Word of God. Jesus will say to the devil that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The book of Hebrews, as well as St. Paul, compare the Word of God to a two-edged sword that separates bone from marrow. It scrutinizes even the most secret thoughts. St. Paul, in the letter to Timothy, speaks about what the Word of God does. It teaches us, it enlightens us, it corrects us, it reproves us, it serves for preaching and teaching. In the letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And St. Jerome, who translated the Bible from the Greek and Aramaic to the Vulgate to the Latin, he's quoted in the Dogmatic Constitution, De Verbum, in these words, that ignorance of sacred scripture, ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. For that reason, St. Ignatius of Loyola, in the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius of Loyola, in the spiritual exercises, says that the grace that we should be begging for in the second week of the exercise, which is dedicated to the life of Christ, is intimate knowledge of Christ. Intimate knowledge of Christ, that we love Him more ardently and we follow Him more closely. Intimate knowledge of Christ, that we love Him more ardently, that we know Him more fully and we love Him more... Intimate knowledge of Christ, that we love Him more ardently and we follow Him more closely. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. How privileged we are, my friends, to have the Bible, the Word of God. How privileged we really are to have the Word of God, which is truly a lamp for our feet and a light for our steps, as the Psalm points out. Psalm 1 says that I meditate upon your word day and night. Psalm 1, I meditate upon your word day and night. Those who meditate upon the word of God day and night are like a tree planted near running waters. Its leaves never fade. That's actually the first psalm. Let me tell you how privileged we are by a story I heard years ago. Many, many years ago, these would be, I'm pretty sure, Benedictine monks. The Benedictine monks would gather around Father Superior, the Simple Brothers, who would be working in the fields, cultivating the plants, the grapes, the crops. So they'd be working hard underneath the sun most of the day. But before they'd go out, the Father Abbot or Superior, or one of the priests, would bring them together, and he would read He would read for all of them. It would be a passage from sacred scripture. Not too long, but it'd be a passage from sacred scripture. And then the brothers would be listening to it. Maybe there are about 20 of them. Then he'd read it again. And they'd start to go out to the fields. And he'd read it again, and then more would disperse, going out to their tasks. Read it a third time. And all those who wanted to listen to it more than once could do it. And the purpose was that by listening to the Word of God, it would go from their ears into their mind, and from their minds into their hearts, such that during the course of the day, when they're tilling the fields, gathering the grapes, planting the crops, removing the weeds and the chaff in the fields, their minds would be elevated on high to the Word of God. So instead of allowing their minds to be filled with useless, frivolous, or even sinful thoughts, they would have their minds focused upon the Word of God. Focused upon the Word of God. My friends, in a certain sense, that's what we're trying to do by being faithful to our daily holy hour that we can call, as Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen points out, the Word of God, the holy hour is the hour of power. The holy hour is the hour of power. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So, those are the words of Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what I'd like to do just for a few minutes is to go through how the Word of God can really influence our lives. And to set the stage for this, I'd like to tell once again an anecdote in the lives of the saints. And how the word of God can actually transform lives. And it's this. We already talked about Saint Catherine of Alexandria, the early 4th century virgin martyr, who was able to convert many people through knowledge of the Word of God. 50 pagan philosophers. But there's another Egyptian, and his name was Anthony. And Anthony came from a rich family. His parents died when he was relatively young, leaving him, and he had a younger sister. Anthony was a Christian, and he would go to church very frequently, and he was very intelligent, docile, open to the Word of God. So one occasion he went to church, and the Word of God was being read. Anthony's ears were open, as well as his mind and his heart. His ears are open as well as his mind and his heart. In the gospel that was being read, was the gospel of the rich young man, where Jesus challenges this rich young man with these words: if you want to be perfect, go sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. That's right. Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Anthony was maybe about 18 years old, but his parents had left him a huge inheritance of land and possessions. Anthony still had a little sister that he felt responsible of watching over. So Anthony went home and he sold his land and fields. He gave the money to the poor, but he held on to a little bit because he was concerned about his younger sister. So the following day he went and he heard the pastor, "Do not worry about tomorrow." So he took this as a cue to give up everything he had. So Anthony gave up everything he had. Everything. And his sister, there was a group of women called virgins back then. It's like the initial stage of religious life. Anthony placed this, his little sister, at the feet, or rather the care of these virgins, so he was totally free. Anthony basically had nothing. He went to live in a cave. He prayed and he fasted. And eventually, because of his holiness, he's going to be attracting other people to follow him. Such that eventually Anthony is going to be the patron saint of Eastern monasticism, where Saint Benedict will be the patron saint of Western monasticism. So Saint Anthony will go on to live until he's about 105 years of age, being nourished on bread and water, and now then an olive. So he goes on to live a long life, being the founder of Eastern monasticism. Now the point I'm trying to highlight is I'm taking the gospel passage and trying to apply it in the life of this saint. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Never. You can really see the real impact of the Word of God in the life of Saint Anthony of the Desert. How powerful. What are some of the other fruits of this reading and meditating upon the Word of God? Okay, I mentioned this earlier, and it's this grace. Saint Ignatius of Loyola St. Ignatius of Loyola, who has left to the church the treasure of the spiritual exercises, which is the basic charism of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, among which I'm one of them. The charism of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. Charism of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. The exercises can be divided into four weeks. The second week of the exercises, and it's not a chronological period of 4 weeks. The second week after the general confession is made, then those who are doing the exercises, are introduced to the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the course of the month, often this second week is going to be probably between 11 and 12 days. So chronologically, it's much longer than the other 3 weeks. Which if you're making a 30-day retreat, you're meditating possibly 4 to 5 hours. 4 to 5 hours on a daily basis, you're meditating, contemplating, better yet. The life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The life of Christ, the words of Christ, the miracles of Christ, the gestures of Christ. In other words, you're really getting to know Christ. And the fruit or grace that you're begging for, the grace or fruit that you're begging for, is the following. Intimate knowledge of Christ. Which will generate intimate knowledge of Christ, that you love him more ardently. The word ardently is a strong word. Then if you know Christ and you love Christ, then the next would be intimate knowledge of Christ, that you love him more ardently and you follow him more closely. Then there would be a follow-up, the call of the King, in which you want to bring others to Christ. And even though Ignatius does not mention this, but I'd like to add a Pauline verse, which would be the net result of the consequences of this intimate knowledge of Christ, that you'll love him more ardently, you'll follow him more closely. It would be imitation and transformation. Imitation. Book of Kempis, Imitation of Christ. Imitation and, my friends, transformation. Imitation and transformation. So much so that we can say with St. Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then Paul will go on to say, this should be our goal. It's no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. May God bless all of you. And I hope and pray that we continue to give thanks to God. St. Paul says, constantly give thanks to God. The Eucharist means thanksgiving. But also, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who converted Catherine of Alexandria, let us strive to meditate and ponder the Word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.